Welcome to New Perspectives on RVN TV. I'm your host, Barry Lefkowitz. Human trafficking is an epidemic in the US and across the world. Trafficking involves transporting women, men, and yes, children into situations of exploitation. This can include forced labor, marriage, prostitution, and organ removal. It is estimated that between 20 and 40 million people are in modern slavery today. About 50,000 people are trafficked into the US each year from Mexico and the Philippines in particular. The average age a teen enters the sex trade in the US is 12 to 14 years old. Let me repeat that, 12 to 14 years old. To discuss and help sensitize you to this crisis in New Jersey and across the country is New Jersey State Senator Troy Singleton. Senator Singleton has devoted his life to public service, having served first as a key staff member in the State Assembly for several years, and then being elected to the State Assembly in 2011 and the Senate in 2017 in the 7th Legislative District, which is what we call the riverfront communities in Burlington County. He presently has major legislation dealing with human trafficking, which we will discuss during the show. He's accompanied by two marvelous ladies, Judy Wargress and Christina Bivens, of the In His Image Justice Coalition. Both are active members of their church and advocates for victims of human trafficking. And in order to help with social distancing, we're going to have Christina's first segment, and then the second segment, Judy will be coming in. Judy is a speech language specialist in public schools, and Christina is an ESL teacher in Burlington County. Welcome and thank you for coming. I understand this month is actually human trafficking month. I'm curious, I guess, normally I would go women first, but Senator, why did you get involved in this?
Well, Barry, first of all, it's an honor and privilege to be with you and Christina and Judy as well. My introduction to this subject is one that came by happenstance. Oftentimes, we don't always know where the inspiration for legislation and policy comes from, but sometimes you cross paths and it sort of drives you and makes you focused on it. And for me and for our role in doing that, we had numerous constituents reach out and contact us about this, the basically modern day slavery that is human trafficking,
right,
and talked to us in great detail and said, look, we really need and hope that you will be able to do something. And then the do something part is always the challenge, right? As legislators, we can write bills, we can write laws to try and do something, but we wanted to do something even more tangible, at least initially, to try and do it. And working with Judy and her entire team, Christina and everybody, we decided to have all of our citizen voices try and effectuate change one step at a time. And our first step was to engage the New Jersey Turnpike Authority, which I, as a former commissioner of the Turnpike Authority, still enjoy good relationships there. And we said, you know what, if nothing else, let's start some awareness. Let's get posters up and let's put the posters all throughout the restrooms and all the public places in the rest stops on the parkway and the turnpike so that we can draw attention to this scourge that is human trafficking. And with persistence and you know, God's intervention, quite frankly, we were able to move government and get it done. And seeing that and knowing that that's the first step of what we believe will be continuous steps to really end, as I said, the scourge of human trafficking, we were excited to partner with our community and get it done.
Christina, you are part of this special group, which has helped bring aboard members of the state legislature. Why did you get involved?
Well, just like the senator just said, just divine intervention, really. Judy had spoken at our church about her involvement with human trafficking and her efforts to educate the community. As a mother of three girls, very much in the age range where they're very vulnerable, I felt the need to join Judy. And it's funny because I said, oh, Judy, I'm here if you need me. And
right.
then, you know, she needs me more. She calls me, and I'm her gopher for sure. But another thing, and also very close to Senator Singleton, I work in the River Towns. Mm-hmm. I work in Riverside, and I work with the immigrant community. And although human trafficking does not discriminate, I know that there is a very vulnerable situation because of the language barrier, because of poverty, because of being in a different country. And I work very closely with my parents. So as a bilingual person and as a teacher in the community, I wanted to be a resource, I wanted to be educated, and I wanted to be bring awareness to my school and my parents, and then, of course, feel the need there.
And, you know, in speaking about awareness, which is part of the whole basis for doing the show today, what are the myths about human trafficking? Because I think, you know, occasionally people will see a TV show and it will have something about human trafficking, mm-hmm. but we really don't truly understand. So if you can kind of help the audience understand what human trafficking is and what are some of the myths about it.
One of the myths, of course, because we hear the word trafficking, we think that there's movement involved. The person does not need to be kidnapped. Hollywood has helped perpetuate this stereotype. Mm-hmm. There's violence, there's moving, there's kidnapping. It makes for a great movie, but it doesn't bring awareness to the realities of human trafficking. And one of the things that we have to be aware is that a person can be trafficked and exploited in their own homes. So that's one of the myths, that it doesn't involve that. And another one, also a lot of times we see a person, a prostitute or a sex worker, and we believe it's a choice. And like you mentioned before, the age of induction is 12 to 14.
Correct.
So a person who's 21 might have been inducted at the age of 12. There's no age of mm-hmm. no consent when you're 12. So this person may have inducted, you know, 6-7 years prior, and now there's no choice. This person feels like there's no choice, no way out. So that's another myth that we want to dispel.
And Barry, just to think through that even more, and Christina's absolutely right. But there's also this idea that there's only a certain type of person who ends up getting trafficked, right? And they think it's this person who looks like this. But human trafficking happens in literally almost every community in the state of New Jersey. Every community, from the poorest, lowest socioeconomic condition to some of the most affluent places in our state. There have been cases, and there are still happening today that we don't know of human trafficking. So when we often talk about this dispelling myths, that there isn't one face of human trafficking,
okay.
right? And there isn't just one solution. It takes all of us to try and do it. That's why we are talking about awareness. See something, say something, and really use your voice to really help someone who's in need, and you may not even know it because they don't look like what, as Christine said, what Hollywood makes us think the human trafficking victim looks like.
Now, you made a comment that I thought we should go back to, and that was that happening within the home itself.
Yes.
And that sort of stunned me a little. If you could explain that a little further.
Just like the senator pointed out, we had victims mm-hmm. here in Delran mm-hmm. Who were rescued. Delran is not necessarily
Which is in Burlington County.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so this child was being exploited by his family in his home. We've had other victims who have been exploited by their boyfriends in their homes. Either they are being exploited sexually, or they are being exploited through the use of drugs, either selling drugs, and then of course it's a cycle. Mm-hmm. You're addicted, you need the money. You participate in the sex act, and it happens in the home. It doesn't, as sad as it sounds, to know that a parent for a need for money will exploit their child, or a boyfriend will exploit, or a husband will exploit their partner for money. It does happen. That's one of the myths that we have come to learn about, that their parents, grandparents have done it. There have been several stings in New Jersey where the grandparents or the parents are involved. And so again, their exploitation is happening in the home. And the child might be going to school, So again, as a teacher, I need to be aware of that. And they are not saying anything. Their grades are suffering. Perhaps they are not socially engaged. And so those are other red flags. But the trafficking is happening. And they're in the supposed safe place where they should be, feel secure.
Now, I know that three of the top states as far as the largest number of human trafficking is California, Texas, and Florida. Is there a reason, and where do we fit as a state in terms of New Jersey?
Well, I think part of the conversation around the reasoning, right? So California, large state, a lot of folks who gravitate and come through sort of that Pacific Rim to California, and then okay. As Christina just talked about, we see the exploitation, especially from folks from Mexico or the Philippines. So California, you can all understand where that nexus is. The import, export sort of business, as it was, of the world, if you think about those places, so Florida jumps into mind, Texas as well because of that, you sort of see those things happen. And beyond just the big states where it happens, though, we do see it happen throughout our country. And I think, again, one of the things that we try and dispel is that, again, it's just a certain type of person or it's just a certain type of region. It happens continuously throughout our country and through all over. As a prime example, one of the big things that we were so worried about a few years back when the Super Bowl came to northern New Jersey, the Super Bowl historically is one of the areas where human trafficking, it is like the Super Bowl of human trafficking, right? And law enforcement is keenly aware of those large scale events of how human trafficking happens. So for us, we want to continue to raise awareness about these issues and not just say, hey, it happens here, it happens there, because it happens everywhere.
I think I'm taken back a little because of, you know, what you're sharing with us, but how do we educate the public? Because, you know, obviously this is a critical problem, and you're talking about, you know, as an educator, you know, looking for signs. You as a legislator are trying to find ways to help reduce the demand. So how do we educate the public in terms of this?
First and foremost, it's programs like this, and thank you for having us to have this opportunity to talk about it. Secondarily, it is making sure that our folks who interact, especially with a lot of children, but who just have this, the common interaction with people. So one of the proposals we worked on, and Barry, may seem counterintuitive, but was to make sure that those that are in, that have their cosmetology degrees, that one of the aspects of their course that they would take is to understand the signs of human trafficking, right? So that you would never think, well, why would my barber or why would my beautician need to know this, right? Well, because the human trafficker wants to make everything seem normal. Mm-hmm. And because of the hold that they have, maybe a psychological hold, maybe a physical hold to say, if you do not come back home, this will happen to this person or that. You still want to be able to see those signs. And our educators, right, as Christina's talked about, educating herself and her colleagues about the signs. We want to continue to make sure that people have a better understanding of the depravity of human trafficking, but also know where the signs are so that they can get law enforcement involved and perhaps save a life.
All right, we're going to have to do that thing which is known as a commercial break. And when we come back, we will get into how to reduce the demand, talk about some of the legislation, and also a little more in terms of how to educate the public on this. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Boardwalks built for fun. Legendary rock and roll clubs.
This is how we do it.
Casinos by the ocean.
Hippity-hop.
Now that's New Jersey. 130 miles of beautiful beaches, solid rock, and everything in between.
Look in the window.
Now that's New Jersey. Plan your New Jersey trip at visitnj.org. Waves of fun. nights of excitement, and a trail of memories. Now that's New Jersey.
This plus this equals this plus this and this. Don't drink and drive.
Listen, what will make your event simply beautiful? Is it your attire, your decorations, your entertainment? Well, join me, Alicia Simone, as I chat with some amazing vendors and clientele who will share their stories and images and their experiences right here on RVN TV, Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 4 p.m. It will be simply beautiful. See you then.
Welcome back to New Perspectives on RVN TV. I'm your host, Barry Lefkowitz. We are having an animated conversation regarding a very, very serious epidemic facing our country and actually the world, human trafficking. For the second segment, we now have Judy Wargas. Judy, it was actually mentioned in the first half that you were sort of the impetus for this, both in terms of getting other volunteers and going to Senator Singleton to sort of carry the water legislatively for you. Why did you get involved in this?
It was really the horror of the victims' experience.
The brutality, the degradation, the violence that they're subjected to, that really broke my heart and just led me to begin praying and asking God, what do you want me to do? And so our first step, I had been familiar with the global organization A21 and was looking on their website and saw they had a walk for freedom, but there was none in New Jersey. So I thought, well, maybe we need to have one in New Jersey. So that was my first step. I spoke at my church, got a wonderful response, a beautiful team of people who are just very dedicated and passionate to seeing this end, and it just snowballed from there.
Now, what is the Walk for Freedom?
So Walk for Freedom is a global event sponsored by A21, and it takes place in hundreds of places all around the world, all across the United States. And we walk in single file, dressed in black, and in silence to signify the silence of the victim. And it's also a fundraising event for A21. So we're really excited to bring awareness. You asked earlier, how do we bring awareness? And that's one of the ways. It's a very poignant sight to see 100 people walking down the street holding signs. And then we give out literature as we go as part of an educational effort. So we've done that for 5 years now.
Senator Singleton, you had mentioned in the opening segment, and if we could bring it up, you talked about posters. Mm-hmm. Could you share with the audience about these two posters? Yep, there they are.
Sure, sure. So the posters are pretty simple, both in English and Spanish. And the idea behind them is to make sure that we raise awareness, to look for the signs of human trafficking, and of course,
see something, say something. And I got to take a moment because Judy is very modest, but the reason this happened, right? The reason the New Jersey Turnpike Authority put these in place and all of their rest stops throughout the Turnpike and the Parkway is in no small measure through the work of this woman right next to me. It is her quiet but forceful advocacy that led the legislature and legislators and government itself to move, usually when government moves at a glacial pace, to move and say, we need to do something. We need to make this happen. And I gotta extend a great cooperation to the current Department of Transportation commissioner, who was then working with us day and night to make sure we get this done. And there's a lot of red tape to work through all this stuff.
Of course.
Never lost the passion for it. But when you go to the Turnpike rest stops, these are up. And the goal is to make sure that if a victim is in there and they see it, maybe they can't speak right then, but they can take the number down that talks about there on there, where you can find help, how to engage law enforcement, and then make that call or make a text later on when they're in a safer place to do it. So we just are all about trying to make sure we heighten awareness for the scourge of human trafficking and eradicate it.
Now, one of the things that in preparation for the show and that you've been teaching me about is that there are actually different forms of the human trafficking that are utilized to keep victims from actually reaching out even when there's an opportunity.
Right. Yeah, so human trafficking always, it's important to understand, it takes many faces. So it's not going to look the same in this instance as it does in another instance, but there are some commonalities. But and so traffickers use a variety of methods to keep their victim under their control. A lot of times it's a psychological manipulation. It might be terror, it might be threats. It's often physical force and violence.
Mm-hmm.
Really the humiliation of the victim that makes him or her feel that they're worthless, that they have no value. And so these things, one of the problems with identifying human trafficking is often that the victim themselves don't self-identify. They don't know that they're a victim. They have been so emotionally traumatized, often, as you said earlier, starting from childhood, that that they don't even realize. They just think somehow they brought this on themselves. So there's an emotional complex trauma bond that's formed between the trafficker and his or her victim. But what's really important about the turnpike signs and the parkway signs that went up, and we're very thankful to Senator Singleton for his assistance in making that happen. But sometimes a victim is moved from state to state to help avoid detection. And inside that restroom on a rest stop on a highway might be the only place that victim is separated from the person controlling them.
Right.
And so there they are alone and able to either memorize that number or, write it down. And so that is really a life-saving measure. And we're really excited that those signs are up there.
Now, in New Jersey, there is, you shared with us in a recent conversation, a particular form generally that's utilized for control, and that's the boyfriend.
Yes.
Thing. Can you share with the audience what that refers to?
Sure. The boyfriending is probably the most typical form of human trafficking in New Jersey, and that looks like an older. It's often men because 80% of trafficking is of women and children. So it would be an older man, maybe in his 30s or even 40s, pretending to be the boyfriend of a young girl, 12, 13, 14 mm-hmm. years old. And so he will go through a very specific grooming process with her, pretending to love her, giving her gifts, making her feel special, like she has value. And then he'll begin to isolate her from her family and friends. And it's all very carefully designed to bring her under his control. And then there will be a situation or a time when he says, oh, I'm very desperate and I need this money. Can you just sell yourself this once? And because she loves him and feels mm-hmm. like he loves her, she'll do it. And once she does, she's trapped. And it's very hard for her to find the way out of that situation. So that's boyfriending. That's very typical in New Jersey.
Senator, how do we reduce the demand?
I mean, that's the quintessential question, right? How do we reduce the demand? And I think part of it, though, falls into a couple different buckets. One is to make sure that we have deterrence so that when individuals engage in this practice, that they know that there'll be severe penalties for doing it. So that is part of it, right? And secondarily is we need to make sure we have enough avenues, especially in the boyfriending scenario where someone feels that they are in a situation that they themselves feel like they can't get out of, that they have avenues that they can go to do that, whether that's the support groups that are known throughout our state, or whether or not from the state government's perspective, we're providing the tools necessary to find the off ramps to the human trafficking sort of highway, as it were. And we need to do better. We need to do a better job as a state of doing that, providing the resources to do that. But as we continue to raise awareness, continue to provide those resources, look at legislative and public policy to shift that dynamic, we provide an opportunity for there to be less of a demand and more escape routes for people caught in this cycle.
Now, Judy, you had shared with me recently that Sweden, of all places, has been very, very successful.
Yes.
And why? Because I know in part legislation is designed by the senator to actually help accomplish that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Sweden, they devised a program where they recognized as a country that the person being used is a victim. Mm-hmm. And they stopped criminalizing mm-hmm. the victim.
Okay.
And they provided her with services and help and resources mm-hmm. and those exit strategies that the senator was talking about. And they also at the same time began to recognize the buyer as the person perpetuating the human trafficking. And so they began to criminalize mm-hmm. and harsher penalties and really taking it seriously. And they have virtually eliminated prostitution. And when you eliminate prostitution, you're going to eliminate human trafficking. And that's the way we do it. And I agree with Senator Singleton that our laws really need to to reflect the horror, the destruction of the life of this victim. This is not like a small negative experience that they quickly get over. These people being used, their lives are being destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, because you know, unfortunately, we could probably do a whole hour segment on this. Senator, could you quickly share with the audience about your legislation for training commercial drivers?
Yeah, so one of the things that we talk about is making sure we have more people out there that know the signs of human trafficking. And one of the things that we're encouraged to try and do is when folks are obtaining their commercial driver's license, primarily a lot of our big truckers, when they are out and about, we want to make sure they are trained to know the signs of human trafficking. Because, and it dovetails nicely with what the work we've done on the Turnpike Authority and the major highways, when those truck drivers come in and they see the scenario that Judy pointed out, the 40, 50-year-old guy and the, you know, teenage sort of girlfriend, air quote, as it were, that they can maybe make a determination watching that interaction that perhaps something is wrong and begin to alert authorities. And for us, if we create a heightened sense of awareness amongst the general public, then we're all looking for the signs, not just a few of us. Then we're all looking for the signs. And that gives human traffickers no quarter anywhere in our state.
Now, Judy, if you could close out and look right into this camera here and tell the audience how they can contact you.
Okay, so we do have a website. It's called freedomfromtrafficking.com. And I believe we're going to post that at the end of the program. But we would love for those in New Jersey to reach out to us. We're doing a lot of different awareness, reduce the demand campaigns, and just really need the hands and the feet and the funding to make those things happen.
I want to thank all three of you, including Christine, who was on the first segment. This is very shocking, number one. Number two, but it is something that's extremely important in protecting our children, our family members, and everybody else. And I think we ought to look at having you come back again, probably sometime in the late spring, as your legislation is moving forward and other efforts that you're doing. To my audience, as always, I thank you very much for allowing me to come into your homes each and every week. Please stay safe, stay well, and we will see you next week. Take care.